Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, I'm Julie Voris, and I want to see you in Indiana on February 25th, 2017. I'm bringing Shaun T back to Indianapolis because it's more than just a workout. It's more than just motivation. It's an experience, and you need to be in the room. Go to julievoris.com for tickets. Join us on February 25th at the JW Marriott downtown Indianapolis for an experience that could just change your life. Be in the room, feel the energy, and open your heart to the possibility. It's more than just exercise, it's life. And on February 25th, it's an experience, and you need to be there. See you in Indiana on February 25th.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. It's time for another episode of Trust and Believe with Shaun T.
So this conversation that we're having today is about alcohol consumption. And it's not whether alcohol is good for you or bad for you. It's just to answer questions as to why Shaun T is not drinking until he's 40. And today I have Alex's Power, who loves wine, and Scott Photobombs, who loves tequila and soda. And I think why I wanted you guys to be on this podcast today is purely because I'm not drinking, but I'm around two people who socially drink once in a while, you know, and well, we can talk about how often they drink, but more importantly, I wanted you guys to be on here because I want people to understand that you can still have people around you that want to enjoy alcohol and you not be peer pressured into drinking. And it really comes from how much internal power you have to decide not to drink. So
why aren't you drinking?
Because I don't want to.
Why?
No.
As someone who used to drink and now doesn't drink.
First of all, to be very clear, I'm not saying I'm not drinking for the rest of my life. Because I don't like to do anything to the extreme. So I'm not saying I'm never drinking again or I'm only, you know, doing a whole 30 diet. I mean, y'all know me. Like, I'm like, I'll do that for a minute, but I ain't holding it. But I'm not drinking because I feel like the sum of why I'm not drinking is because I feel that since I've been an adult, and especially since I've gotten into higher up into my business life and meeting people and going out to dinners and traveling, that no matter where I am, people are always drinking. And I'm like, that's fine. This is great. It's okay that people like to drink at dinner, but I find myself drinking just because wine is ordered or there's a great tequila at the restaurant or I'm comforted by an old fashioned. And it's true. But at the end of the day, I don't actually enjoy the feeling that I get from alcohol. And only under one circumstance do I actually enjoy alcohol, and that is after an intense day of playing tennis or being outside working out, I actually crave beer more than I crave water, which is probably like one of the most interesting things. But I crave beer more than I crave water after a workout in Arizona, mostly Arizona, but for some reason tennis in general, I don't know why. To get a, you know, a 40, an oldie or whatever. You know, I love me some oldie.
Oh my God.
Speaking of 40, why are you waiting until you're 40 to drink?
40 was just a number I threw out there because it was a long enough time away that I thought would be very challenging. But it wasn't so far that it would be kind of ridiculous. Because, you know, who can't drink for a month? Well, some people might have a hard time not drinking for a month. But for someone who's...
Alex raises her hand.
Why is it so hard for you not to drink for a month?
I mean, I personally enjoy drinking at social events. And I have a lot of social events. There's always something going on. And it's just, I mean, I enjoy celebrating, and usually that's what a social event is. You're celebrating something, or, you know, a lot of my friends are either getting married or having babies, and it's just, I mean, whatever the case may be, it's just, it's fun and celebratory to, like, have a drink or two with your friends. And
right. And so, before I move on to my next question, because I'm going to answer this myself, Scott, why do you enjoy drinking?
I equate drinking to having fun. Like, there are times at the end of a long week or, I don't know, maybe we've got a project that we're doing, and when it's completed, the celebration is that kind of excitement of, let's do something fun. Let's do something to celebrate. It's not even really celebrate. It's to relieve stress, I guess. But I don't consider myself. I don't consider myself a stress relief drinker, or it's purely a. I equate alcohol with fun. I don't enjoy the taste of alcohol. Maybe a strawberry margarita or something, but after a while, it gets too sweet, and beer gets a weird taste after a while.
So then that brings me to the question: why? What is it? If you don't like the taste of it, then what do you like about it?
I think it's the initial feelings of the buzz. But, I mean, I used to drink a lot. When I was playing professional soccer, drink.
Hey. I'm not drinking.
I didn't drink until I got to college. And then I played soccer, and it was what you did. After the game was done, you'd go to the post party and you drink like lots of beers with the guys, and you go to the club and you drink even more, and then you repeat. And so I remember having a goal once that I would get a buzz from one drink. Like, that was my goal. And I get that now. And so I think it's the experience of also being with you, that it's you don't have to get wasted to have a good time. You can be in the realm of the buzz.
Did you used to get wasted?
Yeah. But even as every year I get older, you know, even one glass of or two glasses of tequila with soda, I wake up the next day with a headache, and I'm like, this is not the enjoyable part of it.
I actually enjoy the taste of wine. And I enjoy finding wines that I like. So, I mean, I'm not always drinking a glass of wine and I'm saying, ooh, this tastes good, but I enjoy finding the ones that I do like and figuring out why I like them, and that's kind of fun for me.
I don't like the feeling of any alcohol. I don't like the initial buzz. I don't like the later buzz. I don't like the wasted buzz. I don't like throwing up. And so, technically, there's nothing about it that I really, really enjoy. And you know this, like, the minute I feel a buzz of alcohol, I want to go home. I want to drink a ton of water because I don't like it. But that brings me back to why I'm not drinking. And for me, it was something that I felt as if I was being forced to do socially, whereas something that Alex loves to do socially, and it's what you like, and I think that's amazing. Or for you, Scott, on a Friday night, it's something that you absolutely want to do to celebrate. There's nothing about it except
after tennis.
I said that one drink, yeah, after tennis. But I felt that my life was being overtaken by the alcohol. And that sounds so dramatic obviously I wasn't, you know, I don't drink every day.
Maybe, right. We have two drinks max anytime.
Right. That's true. But I felt like there was way too many consecutive nights, or we're on the road a lot and we hang out with Alex and we hang out with other people and then we meet other people. And, you know, business and a lot of times when we're meeting people, it goes back to what Scott said, or when you said, when we're meeting people, because we're on the road a lot, we may have not have seen them for a while. So it is a celebratory thing, or it is a kind of like a Friday night thing. And we're getting together. It's kind of like a reunion. So everyone's like, let's drink. But that's a reunion and a celebration for me or for Scott and I constant, because we're constantly reuniting with people. Yeah. But I want to go a little bit deeper into it. And I don't know if some people who drink a lot and who are not dry, if you will, have never experienced that, if they've ever really accepted why they drink so much, or if they even know. Some people who are alcoholics don't even know, in a sense of, they're like, it's just a part of my day, it's a part of my life, and it's like, oh, I'll come home and I have a glass of wine. But if someone's listening to this, I want them to sit there and think, like, why am I drinking? Do I like the taste? What is it about it? And if you're doing it too much.
I also think, though, that it goes, and I think you know this, but I just want to state it, is that it goes beyond alcohol. Whether it's pretending to be someone else on Facebook, or eating something that you shouldn't, you know, your diet, or I don't know. There are other things that this applies to, where people have put you in a situation where you don't want to be in, and you're doing things to do to help other people, or to please other people, and you realize, wait, why am I doing this? I'm doing this for other people other than myself, and understanding that. So
I've been in that situation where it's like, all right, we're going out with, like, you know, we're going to dinner, and then we'll go get a couple of drinks after the fact. You know, we'll go to a bar, and I just don't feel like drinking anymore. And you don't want to kind of deal with the people being like, oh, why are you like having a drink? I just order a seltzer and I put a lime in it and nobody asks me questions. But if I don't have a drink in my hand, it's almost like, oh, what's wrong? Yeah. Like, are you okay? Why aren't you drinking? It's like, you don't need to, you know, you don't need to fall into it, but there are also ways around it. Like, you could judge your group.
But I do want to tell the story of the catalyst that made me say, what was the straw that broke the camel's back, which was, we were in Budapest, and it was my idea to stay all night long to catch the train to go to Vienna. And
because we had an early morning train to Vienna.
Right, so I was like, let's stay out all night. I honestly thought I was going to have one, maybe two drinks, because it was just what it was. I was like, I'll have one or two. And then we started at the club. I don't know how many drinks I had at the first club, because I was like dancing, cutting up. And the other thing is, I don't drink slow. That's one of my other things about drinking, because I don't really like it. So number one, I put a lot of sugar in it, and then I hate holding a glass anyway, so then I drink it fast. And then I don't feel the buzz super quickly, so then I'm like, I don't even feel anything. So I'm like, okay, I'm fine. And then we go to the second club that night in Budapest, and I'm the one that ordered a round of shots. And I said, what? Order on to a stranger's. I was like, come on, let's have fun. This is our last spot on the tour. You know, let's have fun. And then I went over to the other bar, and there was no one in line. And I said to Scott, oh, let's get in the right. And we're dancing, we're having this great time. It was fun. It was like, it was that Friday night celebratory moment that you guys talk about. I was fine. I was absolutely fine. We get back to the Airbnb, and everyone's starting to have to pack, which I don't know how people pack. I think I packed before we left. Yep. And I remember being in the Airbnb, and I remember saying, okay, we have to leave at a certain time. And I remember falling asleep in the chair. And I was like, I woke up and I was like, I'm fine. I was cool. But it's not until we got on the train, and this is at 4:30 in the morning.
With no sleep.
No sleep. Well, 20 minutes of sleep that I slept in a chair. I was still 100. When I tell you guys, I did not feel the alcohol. Zero. I didn't feel it. I was tired, but I was dancing and everything. Got to the train. I snapped everyone who was passed out. I was like, yes, they're all passed out. We had this celebratory thing. Fell asleep. Woke up 2.5 hours later when we got to Vienna, and I felt like absolute crap. And I remember getting on the plane, and I was like, we flew to
Mykonos,
and I remember being like, this plane ride is going to suck. And I remember trying to sleep, and it didn't really work, and we landed in Mykonos, and everyone was like, whoa, we're in Mykonos. And I am, remember you all went out to dinner that night, and mm-hmm. I laid in the bed, I had the chills, I was jacked up, and I remember saying to myself, this is it. And I know a lot of people out there have said, this is the last time I'm drinking, I'm never drinking again, and this is like, oh my god. And then the next night they're like, tore up from the floor about that guy in college. But I really wanted to stick to that this time, because I really didn't enjoy it. And then I started to think back, that feeling of being 38 years old and being plastered like that, and you know,
on no sleep,
and yeah, and it had nothing to do with Sean T, the fitness celebrity. I was like, shit, I can have fun too. I do a lot of stuff, you know, whatever. It had nothing to do with that. It had everything to do with the way I felt. Mm-hmm. And not, I wasn't trying to lead by example. Because, you know, since that day, since October 7th, I have not had one drink. And it feels amazing. The longer I go into not having a drink, even in the fun moments, or, you know, here, when we went to that really nice restaurant today at the tennis, that restaurant, I saw the rosé, and I'm like,
oh. Why do you think that makes us, because I saw two people drinking white
wine. Do you know
and
that?
And I saw two people drinking champagne, and I thought, oh my god, so much fun. Like, why is that?
It's that feeling of, because I was in there too, like,
I think it's the freedom, no obligation, because if I'm drinking, I'm not going to do anything afterwards that needs my brain to focus.
That's maybe interesting.
So it kind of like, so when I start having alcohol, I'm like, I'm allowing myself to let go,
yeah,
and not be the business mind that I'm always having to be 23 hours a day.
That's a good point.
See, for me, it has nothing to do with not having anything to do for the rest of the day, because I've been in situations, I mean, I've been at work, and it's been a lunch break, and people are like, let's have a glass of wine.
Right.
It has nothing to do with not having to do it whatever for the rest of the day. It's purely a, this is going to sound really like far left, like it's coming out of left field, but it's almost like a feeling of like prestige. Mm-hmm. You know, you're sitting in a nice restaurant, and you know, you're surrounded by good food and lots of people having amazing conversation. You're at the tennis, and it's, you know, it's
the atmosphere.
The atmosphere is so, I mean, this restaurant was super, I mean, whenever I saw the restaurant, I was more attracted to food, and it looked like it was going to have some really good food. And then when we walked in, I was very surprised to see how upscale the restaurant was. And that's when I said to myself, this requires some rosé.
But why is that?
Again, because
it goes back to that.
It's
like,
all in the same.
But is it a society thing? Or is it, have we been brainwashed? Have we been Pavlovian?
I can share. Because I grew up not having money to just enjoy the, people say, let's enjoy the fruits of our labor. Well, we ain't have no fruits and we ain't have no labor. You know, it was, so now being, you know, finding success in my life, I say to myself, oh, I can enjoy these moments. And I have saved money to be able to enjoy, you know, a $12 glass of champagne. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So ridiculous. But, and it's It just sounds so amazing.
Or even like sitting on a beach on vacation with like a cold drink, or like you guys like your lava flows. Like what is that? It's like, what is that feeling? Why do you want that? You know?
Which is going to be really interesting for my birthday this year in St. Martin, where we're going to invite people and everybody's going to be having an amazing time at the water. Me, we're going to be at the pool. I'm hoping wherever we get, we can get going off at the pool. I'm only inviting people who want to dance like half naked. But mainly because we're going to be at the pool party.
Yeah.
Not like really half naked, well, kind of. But, but it's going to be interesting because there's going to be the bar there, and it's, you know, we're celebrating my birthday with Ryan, and there's going to be bottomless mimosas at breakfast. And these are all things that, like I said, I don't necessarily like the taste of it or what it does to me, but it definitely is, oh, well, it's, you know. So what I'm going to do, because I think it's fun, is, you know, I'm going to say, can you make virgin mimosas for me? And can, you know, just to see, just kind of do some experimenting.
Whatever, I think people, it's important for them to
listen. Listen closely.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
As a gay man that did, I mean, I didn't come out till I was 21, and still after 21, you still have to, you still have to live behind a scrim, in a sense. You know, you still have to filter your life. Now, hear me. For me, I spent enough of my life doing and living a way that other people wanted me to live. And, you know, oh, yeah, I have a girlfriend, or going out and dating girls when I didn't want to anymore, you know. And so, for me, it's, I love the competitive part of this process of, like, I love when people tell me, oh, there's no way you won't drink until you're 40. I'm like, okay, great. Because for me, it goes, you know, they say it's never the thing, it's the thing. For me, my driving force is not, I'm not going to live how other people want me to live. And I am going to be in that situation at the birthday where everyone is drinking and having a glass of wine and cutting up and having a good time. It actually makes me feel good to be doing something totally different. And then the other side of that, which is a little bit more a Jersey, if you will, is like, I don't give a, I'm not doing what you want me to do anyway, because of just that attitude.
If someone is in that, a social situation where they are feeling pressured to do something, what is something that can help this person stand up and hold their own?
It's strength. It's, you have to assess your own strength. Assessing your own strength is extremely important to life in general. You can't be intimidated by people. I mean, if you feel intimidated by people, you definitely need to assess your strength. Because why is it that you are intimidated by people? Why don't you feel strong enough? And that's why I say you have to assess your own strength. That's the first step. Because you can fight and fight and fight, but if you don't have the fight, if you don't have the power, you're never going to win. That's the first step.
And if you treat others how you want to be treated, that, I mean, in essence, should be...
But that's true.
The platform to jump off of, if you will.
Right. But even my take on the golden rule is, it's how I want to treat you. I feel like I'm a pretty nice guy, and I try to do whatever I can. I try to supply experiences and information to people to help them better themselves. And even if I do that, and my intention is really great, and you don't like me, I'm completely fine with that. Because I really don't expect you to treat me. There are some people that's like, you should be expected to be treated like this. I'm going to treat you how I want to be treated. And if you feel like you don't want to treat me that way, then I know that you don't need to be a part of my life.
I then posed the question to Alex because she used an example earlier where she said she's at a celebration and instead of telling your friends you're not drinking, you just get a soda. Mm-hmm. So I would say to you, why, and use this in a general sense for people who are listening to understand maybe why they do it. Why is it that you just choose to get a soda and not tell people about it instead of telling them and saying, you know, or not going to the party in general? Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think it's just more not only for the comfort of me, but for the comfort of them, if that makes sense. So if you're not holding a drink, but somebody else is, they might even feel uncomfortable. You know what I mean? Like, oh, am I drinking too much? Or, you know, and then they start questioning themselves. And it's just like, I do it to put not only myself in a comfortable situation, but the people around me. Mm-hmm. So it's just something that doesn't need to be explained, doesn't need to be, you know, given a thought. And even if I'm just walking around with a glass of water, it's just a social action. It's just like partaking in a social action and having a conversation with people. And it almost makes people like, well, it's a crazy social experiment, but you can try it, but it'll make people even open up to you more. They feel more comfortable having a conversation with you. It's just I'm opening up a bottle of wine. You want a glass? Like, of course. And then like all of a sudden your conversation at the table changes. It's almost like a social experiment that
Interesting that you say that because Giacomo and I were talking about that same thing with coffee. Mm-hmm. You know, when Alex and I say, do you want to go get coffee? We don't have to, I mean, if we have a lot of work to do, we'll say, hey, do you want to discuss this at coffee? But there are times where we'll just be walking down or shopping or just doing whatever in two different realms and we'll say, do you want coffee? And when you say, do you want coffee with someone, it doesn't require the subject of conversation. You just start talking. And I think that's the same thing. That's an interesting point. It's the same thing with wine. Or just having
any
a drink.
Any kind of alcohol. And you can refer that back to, like, let's go get dinner. Or smokers who go outside to have a cigarette. Yeah. You know, it's just an action that, like...
It bonds you.
Yeah, it's a social bonding experience.
Scott doesn't... I mean, you understand it. You get the fact that I like coffee. But even today, after almost six and a half years of knowing you... We'll be sitting down, and I'll be having my coffee, and he's like, so, like, he's so interested still in why I'm drinking coffee. He's like, and I'm always like in the back of my head, I say to myself, Lord, one day it would be so amazing to have a cup of coffee with him.
But for people who, and again, the reason why I'm saying this is because I want people to learn something from this, because the reason why you brought this up was because you wanted to explain your experience of not drinking alcohol anymore and the reasons behind it. I want people to be able to walk away from this podcast and be learned how they can help themselves be able to take that first step. And you said that first step is understanding why it is you're doing what you're doing and why you don't want to do it, right?
Yeah, I mean... But also, it's about, I think people learn from the experiences. I don't think it's necessarily a step-by-step process. I think people are going to now assess why they drink. You drink because it's a Friday. You drink because it's celebrating something. Me, I f***ing hate it. The entire experience, unless... I honestly, this is going to sound really crazy. For me, even when I had that beer at tennis... I don't need you to have one. I'm fine. I can go home, turn tennis on the TV. It's a Saturday afternoon. Have my one beer and I'm cool. So I think that's the other thing that's interesting is it's Friday night. It's celebration. Let's have fun. Which I think a lot of times involves people. Mm-hmm. Yours, obviously, celebrating something involves people. For me, I don't need people, but some people celebration is on their own. But I think it's the why. I think if you ask yourself, why am I drinking? And again, this is not a bad thing. It's just, why are you doing it?
Why are you drinking? Why are you eating? Why are you smoking? Why are you doing things that you do in your life?
Analyze where your health meter for drinking alcohol, you know, because And it's not something to say, to go to a friend and say, oh my goodness, I think I have a drinking problem. That's not what I'm saying here. I'm saying for you to analyze it yourself. For some people, they don't even know that every night they come home, they drink so much wine. Yes, they know it, but they don't know. Some people don't understand that, why am I not losing weight? Oh, I went to 6 business meetings and had dinners and I drank a lot, but I'm working out every day.
Or why is it that I don't have any time for myself because I tell everyone yes when they ask me to do something? I guess I'm trying to apply it globally, if you will.
No, I know you're trying to apply it globally. I'm trying to apply it strictly to alcohol.
Yeah.
Only because there are a lot of people who are listening to this who drink. And drinking, and it could have been a New Year's resolution, and drinking is a lot of times the catalyst to your unsustainability to keeping your weight loss. It's the catalyst to your marriage troubles. It's a catalyst to you not being able to function at work at your highest level because you might have gotten 8 hours of sleep, but you drank a whole bottle of wine the night before. And that's not, you know, so that's why I say you have to, where is your health meter when it comes to alcohol? And when does it become unhealthy for you? And for people who may be alcoholics, who may not have admitted it to someone else, and they're hearing this, and they know that they are, and so at what point did it become unhealthy? At what point does it become unhealthy? And now, obviously, having all the information from all of our experiences is, when do you decide to take action? Or I would say, now that you know these things, it's time to take action on it. And that's what I did. I saw it. It popped up in my face. It popped up in my Sean T feed.
Yes, it did.
And I needed to take action. And this is the action that I decided to take for me. And
perfect.
The success that I feel from not having had a drink for November, December, January, 3 months, and having gone out to dinner and having been at parties and having been at tailgatings, it's such a successful feeling for me. And I don't even really like alcohol like that, but it's a successful feeling for me because I'm not doing something that I don't really enjoy.
Yeah.
Or that's not necessarily making me feel good about myself.
So in the past 3 months you feel amazing about yourself, why are you saying that at 40 you're going to go back?
No, first of all,
good question.
No, I'm not going back.
I mean,
it's just
start drinking again. You'd have another drink. Why not just say to yourself, I'm going to see how long I can go without having another drink?
Yeah, you know? So that's a good question. So I used 40 as a... the goal is the right word. Mm-hmm. My challenge point. Mm-hmm. You know, because a year and 8 months is, I mean, since the minute I turned 21, you know, I've had socially drinking alcohol, and then like I said, as I got older and more successful in business, standards has become more than I want to. But and so 40 was me being like, I want to finish out my 30s, you know, being super healthy and clean when it comes to alcohol anyway, or healthy in general. So that's why 40 happened. And so the funny thing is, which people don't know this, and I can't believe I'm about to tell this, but I said it before. But when we filmed Insanity was so freaking hard that Lara was like, what do you want? You know, she would always give me like a little gift or something at the end of the shoot. What do you want for the end of, you know, when you finish shooting Insanity? I was like, I want a 40. I was like, I want
you want a 40.
A 40 in a plastic bag. And yo, I wanted a 40 in a brown bag. And we were in the Bronx. And they didn't have Aldi. So I had Budweiser. I was like, who want a 40 of Budweiser? I didn't even finish it. I was like, oh my God, my stomach hurts. But, and so now the joke is, for my 40th birthday, I don't want a cake. I want some Aldi on the table. But it's going to be really interesting. That's a really interesting question that you asked, because it's not even that I really want to drink it. It's more of, this is an amazing milestone, if you will.
Celebration.
And yes, it is. It'll be an amazing celebration. But I don't know who said it to me. They said, Sean, I don't even think you're going to have a drink.
I was going to say, let's make a bet right now. Do you think Sean will have a drink on his 40th birthday?
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I don't know. I don't want to say yes and then be like, I'm going to challenge that.
That's true. We can't make you write it down.
But it's not even that. I think at that point, it would have been so long that didn't have a drink that for someone who was who's been an alcoholic, I know like being dry is very important for them. So I would say your decision of not drinking is really important, and it's I would say not to do it because that's gonna for a lot of people be like a relapse. For me though, it's almost like I do want to have that one drink and then not. It goes back to 85-15, wish you're healthy. And then I think it will be very fun to once in a while on a hot day of playing tennis in 2018 in the summertime to come back and have that one drink and be 100% okay with it. Because I think the other thing that is a little bit fearful about, fear is false evidence appearing real, but thing that's concerning to me is I don't like extremes. So that's why I think 85-15 and having a drink when I want to, because I don't want to be the person that's like, I'm never having a drink. I don't want to be that guy. That's not why I'm doing this. I'm doing this to cleanse my body and for a challenge and to fight my societal urge.
You know what I thought was interesting today is when we were close to having a drink today, and then we left, and then we were close to possibly having another one, and then we left the place, and the urge went away. Did you notice that? It was like, we were excited, and we were like, oh my God, let's get one, and then we're like,
I think it's fun that Scott's having bubbles and I'm having water bubbles.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's funny. The other thing I think that's great about it is the contrast of, you know, you can actually be in a relationship and your spouse can have a drink and you don't necessarily have to. Or there might be times when we finish playing tennis and I go grab, in 2018, and I go grab a bottle of whatever, what beer it's going to be. Blue Moon. And I know, the orange. And Scott's like, no, I don't want it. Like,
yeah. Oh, hell no.
Where you don't like...
No, I'm just saying, a beer after tennis, like if it's Phoenix hot and we're playing tennis, I am like, the last thing I want right now is any sort of alcohol.
I'm thinking about that now. It's so exciting for me because it's just that one beer is so in our clear glass that I should chill in the freezer before I even come back. And my mouth is watering, but I'm not going to drink. Anyway, thanks.
Cheers.
I hope people got something out of that. I want to give a huge shout out to Todd Midget, aka NC Fit Club, Alex Colorado, my lovely production manager. They do a great job with loving up on the podcast and making sure that it gets out to you so that we can all stay motivated and relevant. Thank you guys. You guys are awesome.